following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's up, guys? End Time Headlines here. We want to welcome you to tonight's broadcast. It is Thursday, September the 28th. I am your host, Ricky Scapparo, the founder and the pastor and the voice of End Time Headlines. Listen, if you're new to the broadcast, new to the program, and this is the first time you're joining us on whatever platform you're watching, if you're able to comment, let us know in the comment section below that you are new. We'd love to welcome you to the program. Also, if you don't mind, please hit that like button right there below on that whatever platform it is, Facebook, Rumble, YouTube, whatever it is, hit that like button, hit the share, hit the push notifications, the bell on these platforms. This is what all this stuff pushes out our messages out on these platforms. And of course, if you're new and you are not aware of this, we do have a free app. Or maybe you've been watching for a long time and you've just hesitated or whatever reason, you've not downloaded the free app. Download it today. Hit yes to push notifications and you're going to be good to go. It's on every platform, the two major platforms, rather Apple or Android. Download it today. Again, hit the yes to push notifications and you're going to get our podcast and you're going to get every headline when it's readily available. So if you were to ask me tonight, Brother Ricky, what are the two, if you were to ask me, what are two major events that you could see in the next 6 months coming to pass or coming to fulfillment that would be major in regards to Bible prophecy? Of all the things that are going on in the world, different things are happening, there is two major events that I see transpiring right now before our eyes that I believe could impact the world as we know it, especially the Middle East, in the next 6 months. And I want to talk about that tonight on tonight's program. Now, the first major event, and this thing has been going on for a while, and it involves the Saudi-Israel peace agreement. Now, there is a collaboration of nations that are involved in this, and I'm going to give you more update on this right now. All right, let's watch this video together, and we'll do some commentary with this. Then we're going to get into some scriptures. Then we're going to talk about our second major event that I see, again, that could transpire in the next 6 months. These are major prophetic events in regards to eschatology or the end times. Watch.
Let's begin this half hour with the possibility of an historic agreement to normalize relations between Saudi Arabia and Israel. Israel's Torah minister arrived in Saudi Arabia Tuesday, the first time an Israeli cabinet minister has led a delegation to the Saudi kingdom. It comes after the Saudi crown prince talked about the important progress between the two countries. CBN Middle East correspondent Chris Mitchell brings us the story now from Jerusalem.
Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman told Fox News' Brett Baer Saudi Arabia may normalize relations with Israel.
Every day we get closer. It seems it's, for the first time, a real one, serious.
Bin Salman told Baer the Palestinian issue is central to the deal.
For us, the Palestinian issue is very important. We need to solve that part. And we have a good negotiation. It's continue. Till now, we got to see where it will go. We hope that it will reach a place that it will ease the life of the Palestinians and get Israel back as a player in the Middle East.
In their first meeting since Prime Minister Netanyahu took office, he told President Biden that with U.S. help, normal relations with Saudi Arabia are within reach.
We can forge a historic peace between Israel and Saudi Arabia, and I think such a peace would go a long way first to advance the end of the Arab-Israeli conflict.
Now, think about what they're saying right here. If you are a regular viewer of our ministry, of our podcast that we do week after week after week, you will know that the verbiage they're using here, the language that's being used here, these terms are all biblical. Because I'm going to show you again, we talked about this, Daniel 9:27. It talks about the Antichrist. When he comes on the scene, he will affirm, or he will confirm, rather, he will confirm a treaty of 7 years that will involve Israel and the nations of the world. And then we know, of course, in Thessalonians, Paul said, concerning the times and seasons, my brethren, you know, you have no need that I tell you, you know that when they shall say peace and safety, Then sudden destruction shall come upon them as in labor pains to a woman. Now, I don't want to rehash. We went a lot. If you want, go back and watch last week's podcast, or it could have been this week. They all run together on me because we do these like four times a week. But we went into great detail on that. And we talked about the prophetic significance of that. But here's what I want to say here, that in order to bring about the destruction that Paul gives us a revelation of, it is directly correlated with peace and safety. Again, when we go to the book of Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, this is the prophetic war of Gog Magog. Again, not only do Christians believe in this war, the Jews and the Muslims as well. They all believe that this is a major war in the future that will involve this coalition of nations that will attack Israel. And if you study that out in Ezekiel 38, the prophet Ezekiel tells you that it will happen during a time of peace and security when Israel will let down their guard. So something has to happen, guys, from now until then, to the fulfillment of Ezekiel 38, 39, in order to get Israel into that place of peace and safety, or this false sense of peace and safety. They will let down their guard, let down their walls. They will dwell in a place, in a village of unwalled. It'll be an unwalled village and cities. And then it will be then that these nations will come together with one initiative, and that is to attempt to destroy Israel and take their spoils. Read it. It's in Ezekiel 38. So here we are on September 28th. The date of this video that we're watching is the 27th, but real time, we're on the 28th of September 2023, and we know that this is just a continuation of what, under the presidency of Donald Trump, what he set in motion called the Abraham Accords. Now, these Abraham Accords are bilateral agreements on Arab-Israeli normalization signed between Israel and the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain. The initial beginning of this was on September 15, 2020. This was mediated by the United States, and the initial announcement of this took place on August 13, 2020. Through these dual agreements, or this Abraham Accords, we're going to call these peace treaties. And remember, again, I'm going to refresh your memory for all of you guys that are new. I'm going to kind of give you something new. For you guys that are regular viewers, I'm just going to kind of revisit something here. Again, it is of my opinion, when we go to Daniel 9:27, where the Antichrist will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week in Hebrew, that's 7 years. Again, he does not create the treaty. He confirms the treaty. So it is of my opinion that there will be, and I've said this in past podcasts, there will be a series of treaties, plural tense, that will already be put in place, that will be a foundation for this confirmation that the Antichrist himself will put in motion and will fulfill Daniel 9:27. And guys, I believe these Abraham Accords are just that. For example, as part of the dual agreements, both United Arab Emirates and Bahrain recognize Israel's sovereignty. And this was the first time that Israel sat down with an Arab country in such a manner. This is why it was so historic since 1994, when the Israel-Jordan peace treaty came into effect. So see, the Daniel 9:27 treaty is not going to be the only treaty that's ever been historically. There has been multiple peace treaties, and that's why I said these things will be put in place. These things will be the foundation in which the Antichrist will come along and affirm. And guys, this is also why all these people on YouTube and blogs, they freaked out when Jared Kushner came on the behalf of Trump negotiating this and signing this, and they're like, oh my gosh, this is the Antichrist. He's the Antichrist. No, he's not the Antichrist. Number one, he doesn't fit the bill whatsoever. Again, when people say stuff, such things, it's just ignorance of the Bible. I'm just being honest, because you go and study the Bible and you begin to really study on the manifesto of the Antichrist, his rap sheet of where he's going to come out of, the terms that are given to him, the titles that are given to him, and what he does. It is, friends, it's not Jared Kushner. It's not Prince Charles. All these people, again, and I know that's going to ruffle some feathers here, but I'm just being honest with you. These don't fit the bill. Now, the reason why the name of this accord, which is, again, the Abraham Accords, the reason why this was given is the fact that it's rooted in common belief of the Abrahamic religions, which consist of, and these are the three major religions, watch this, that all are centered around end-time activity dealing with Israel, Jerusalem, and the Middle East. And that is Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. All right, let's go back to this video.
Achieve reconciliation between the Islamic world and the Jewish state, and advance a genuine peace between Israel and the Palestinians.
In light of the potential agreement and likely Israeli concessions to the Palestinian Authority, Rabbi Leo D., whose wife and two daughters were murdered in a terror attack, wrote an open letter to President Biden and Crown Prince Bin Salman, calling on them to require the Palestinian leadership to stop rewarding terrorists. He wrote in part, "It is up to you to demand, as part of the peace agreement that is taking shape, that the Palestinian Authority immediately annul the laws that reward the perpetrators of terrorist acts. My beloved wife and daughters, who never hurt a soul, would still be with me today if the PA was not providing terrorist families with financial incentives. The threat of a nuclear Iran represents an existential threat to both Israel and Saudi Arabia. And Bin Salman warned if Iran gets a nuclear weapon, his country will too. Netanyahu encouraged President Biden to continue standing against a nuclear Iran."
And by the way, Iran, as the Bible identifies as Persia, will be one of the major players and enemies of Israel, and is in the future war of Ezekiel 38-39, Gog and Magog. So that's, again, this is all coming to pass, guys. That's why I said things are not falling apart, they're falling into place.
I think that's critical. And that shared goal of ours can be best achieved by a credible military threat, crippling sanctions, and supporting the brave men and women of Iran who despise that regime and who are our real partners for a better future.
To help seal the deal, the Biden administration is considering a mutual U.S. defense pact with Saudi Arabia that would compel the United States to come to the defense of the Desert Kingdom if it's attacked, a proposal that may require Senate approval.
Now, I want to interject this. Another thing you'll discover in Ezekiel 38, it is of my opinion, and now scholars will differ. Certain theologians, scholars, teachers and preachers of eschatology, they kind of differ on this, on what I'm about to say here. Some agree, some disagree. So we're just going to throw that out there. You can do what you want with it. But it appears that the United States doesn't directly involve itself in this future Gog and Magog war. Now, some will say that they are, but others will try to make them fit there, but I just don't see it. I don't see America, even any kind of depiction or typology or imagery, I just don't see America involved. And then this brings up a whole other question, and I don't want to get too far into this because then we'll go way out on a rabbit trail, and that is, why would America not be mentioned if Israel is being attacked by Iran and by Turkey and by Russia and by all these other nations that are collaborating together? Would it not be suffice to say that America would rise to the defense of Israel, because being that we're a major ally of Israel? So again, this raises speculation of why this would not be. Is America gone? Have they been destroyed? Has the rapture taken place and it's left us in complete chaos? Has there been an attack? Are we in the middle of a conflict, perhaps? Or maybe we're under a administration, a new presidential administration that has completely turned its back on the nation of Israel. So these are some speculations, but I think that's interesting.
Normalization does come between Israel and Saudi Arabia. It has the potential to transform the Middle East.
All right, so I wanted to, this was the first event. So this first event that we're talking about is the peace negotiations or a possible peace treaty that will be put in place between the nation of Israel and Saudi Arabia. And America is directly involved in this. Now, there was reports that this this initiative of peace crumbled, that it fell through. But now we're hearing more reports that they're back at the negotiating table and they're involving Palestine. So it's going to be interesting how this plays out. So again, I say keep an eye on this because this is a major historic event that I believe is prophetic, major prophetic in nature. And then this has to fall in place first, because now I want to take you to the second major event that we've talked about many times on this program, and that's the rebuilding of a future third temple in Jerusalem. Now, the last temple that existed in Israel was destroyed in 70 AD. No other Jewish temple has been constructed in Jerusalem since that time. At this present hour, there are two Islamic mosques that sit in Israel today, and one is called the Dome of the Rock, and the other is called the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Now, again, what's interesting about this region, this area, where this future temple will be erected, and we're going to go through all this today, is the fact that, again, all three major religions of the world are connected to this area. You have the Jews, because of Abraham offering Isaac, and the two temples that were constructed there. Again, you had one during the Babylonian Empire, the one during the Roman Empire. Then you have Muslims who have, again, they have the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Dome of the Rock. Then you have Christians because of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ in this same region. Now, I want to say this. The Apostle Paul, by revelation of God, that there would be a future temple in the time of the end, during the tribulation, where the Antichrist would take his seat of authority and his headquarters in. And again, you can find this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. When Paul is giving us this revelation of the Antichrist emerging in the last days, it says that he opposes and exalts himself above all. This is in verse 4, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, for you guys who are listening by Apple and by Spotify. He opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped. Now look what it says here. So that he sits as God in the temple of God. Folks, listen. How can he sit in a temple that's not even existing? The answer is simple. There will be a construction of a third temple in the future. And this agrees exactly with what John the Revelator saw as well when he was given a prophetic glimpse into the tribulation period in Revelation chapter 11 at the very beginning of the tribulation. John saw a temple according to Revelation chapter 11 verses 1 and 2. This temple is a brick and stone building. It will be measured. It will have an altar. I've got all this highlighted, guys, for you guys that are watching this broadcast, Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, right here on your screen. There's a reason why I highlighted these things. I'm pulling out these key points of this. You guys are listening by Apple or Spotify. Listen carefully. There will be a physical temple that will be built in the future. There will be worship going on there. There will be services going on there. I'm talking about temple services. We're talking about offerings that will be given. There will be sacrifices taking place. These are priesthood things because they still do this under the actual priesthood, the Sanhedrin. There's a priesthood in Israel to this day that's still going on. And that, by the way, they've all been preparing for this very event in the future. So again, let me go back here. Revelation 11. There will be a temple and it will have an altar. And those who worship there will be an inner court, outer court. There will be an inner court and an outer court of this temple. In fact, John says that when this was being measured, that the angel of the Lord instructed them to leave out the outer court of the temple. Notice they said here, the temple. And do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city, that's Jerusalem, under their feet for 42 months. Now, I want you to clean out your ears real good here, because I'm about to tell you something. This temple described by John could not have been a temple in his day because, again, it was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. He wrote this in 95 AD. There was no temple. Another note, it is not a heavenly temple, as some try to say that it is, because, again, how can Gentile nations trample under their feet a temple in heaven? Hello? Because it's not. Okay? Number three, God is going, if you read Revelation, if you go down further in Revelation chapter 11, in the heavenly temple, God will be releasing judgments from heaven to earth. So this heavenly temple is not in heaven. And the fourth thing I want to say is, now the replacement theologists will tell you that this is not, again, we've went over this many times, but I'm doing this for the sake of new people, so bear with us. People will try to tell you that this, there is no third temple, and that we, the believers, the church, the ecclesia, will be the third temple. Well, guys, that just doesn't make no sense at all. That is the dumbest revelation I've ever heard of. Again, when the scripture makes sense and plain sense, seek no other interpretation. You cannot make this about our physical bodies. It makes no sense. It doesn't agree with scripture. It is not proper interpretation of scripture, and the list goes on. Okay. So we've established that. Some interesting points, and we're going to show you a video in just a minute as well, because we're going to give you an update on the process, where we're at on the construction of this third temple, because they are pursuing this. Whether you believe it, whether you don't believe it, whether you agree with it, you don't agree with it, they are pursuing the construction of this third temple. And we need to be paying attention to this. I want to point out some stuff, and then we're going to watch a video. Some biblical scholars, this is good too, you got to listen to this. I was taking notes on this today because I wanted to interject, because I know a lot of you guys are regular viewers, and you've heard me reiterate a lot of this stuff. So I'm trying to add some new insight to this today. So listen, if some people's checked out, they missed it, go tell them, say, man, you missed it because Brother Ricky got into some stuff he hasn't talked about in the past. Listen to me. Bible scholars believe that this coming third temple and the area around it could possibly, this is deep, could possibly be shared by all three major religions in the last days. Let me say that again. This coming third temple, the area around it in Jerusalem, the most holy site to Islam, Christianity, and the Jews. This could be a region, an area, and a temple that could be shared by all three major religions. Now you say, well, how could this happen, Brother Ricky? This would never happen. There's been conflict for over 2,000 years and so on and so forth. And they would never get along. And how are the Jews going to accept a Gentile Antichrist? And how are the Gentiles going to accept a Jewish Antichrist? Listen, this could absolutely take place. You ready for this? Through a diplomacy of peace, or a peace for land swap. Hello? Let me throw another nugget out there to you. I'll remind you that John saw a man who would be influential in the last days and would come alongside and work hand in hand with the Antichrist. And he was called the false prophet. Now, Daniel did not see the rise of the false prophet when God gave him the revelation of the end times. But John saw the false prophet. He saw him emerge to power. And your Bible says in Revelation 13, let me pull it up. All right. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because this is not where I wanted to go, but I want to give you the real quick bullet points about the false prophet. All right. John saw this man rising up. He calls him another beast coming up out of the earth. It's interesting. The Antichrist is the first beast, and he rises up out of the sea, which is the Mediterranean basin area. That's where all the focal point of all prophetic history comes from. Go and read it. This is the same all the way back to the very beginning of Genesis. The Tower of Babel was in a place called Shinar, in the plains of Shinar. That's in Iraq. The entire Bible, every major prophetic event is centered around the Mediterranean basin area, this whole place in the Middle East. So the Antichrist, the first beast, rises up out of the sea. All right. But then he said, I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. Now, I believe the reason why the second beast comes up out of the earth and not the sea, I believe the second beast is the false prophet, and he rises up among men. He comes up among men. Now, notice this depiction. The false prophet has two horns like a lamb, but spoke like a dragon. Now, we have talked about this. When it comes to the law of proper interpretation of scripture, there's what's called the law of first mention. People, listen, this is what discourages people from studying Bible prophecy, and especially the book of Revelation, because they'll say things like this: it's too hard to understand. There's too much imagery. There's too much confusion. I don't get it. But it's really not that confusing when you go back to the law of first mention. So when you see here a lamb and a dragon, these should ring bells. A lamb is a depiction of Christ. A dragon is a depiction of Satan. Now, so we know that this false prophet that's coming up out of the earth has two horns. Now, what do horns represent? Horns can represent kingdoms, but they can represent authority. Okay? So he rises up. The Bible says he has two horns like a lamb. Now, this changes things up a little bit. So it sounds as if he will have some type of religious authority, but it will be duality. In other words, it could be possible, listen to me, and my theory agrees with many scholars, that this false prophet, whoever he is, he will come up and he will take two major religions in the earth and he will merge them together under, and it will be an apostate religion. Okay? So he had two horns like a lamb, but look at this. But he spoke like a dragon. This gives away the spirit in which controls him, which will be the same spirit that controls the Antichrist, which is Satan. Y'all see this? So again, false prophet takes two major religions. I believe, and again, this is my opinion from what I've studied of this for 23 years, I believe it's going to be an apostate form of Christianity. Now you say, what do you mean by an apostate form of Christianity? Guys, are you kidding me? If you don't think there's an apostate Christianity in the earth today, there is. I call it progressive Christianity. That's one example of it. We're talking about a Christianity that doesn't convict, it doesn't rebuke, it doesn't correct. It's completely apostate. They affirm things that God called us to repent of. They affirm things that God called an abomination. They support the shedding of innocent blood. They support same-sex marriage. They support, again, it's totally contrary to the Bible and what the Bible defines as true Christianity. So it's an apostate form of Christianity. But I'm going to take it a step further. I believe it'll be an apostate Christianity that will deny that Jesus is the Son of God. Yes, I believe whenever we get to Revelation 13, it's going to get so bad with this apostasy. 1 Timothy 4, Paul said that the Holy Spirit spoke to him by revelation of God and spoke to him explicitly and says that in the latter days, some shall depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, I believe there's going to be an apostate Christianity that's already emerging. It's already here, and it's just only going to deteriorate further. And it's going to get to the point where it's going to deny the divinity and the deity of Christ. Now, I'm going to show you why I believe that. Then the second one, the second faith, I believe, will be Islam. So again, I believe the false prophet, whoever he is going to take Islam and this apostate form of Christianity. It could even be, now when I say this apostate form of Christianity, it could even be a mingled hybrid of Catholicism. And I wish I could get deeper into that, guys, but it would take away from the entire premise of what I'm going here with this third temple. But, and I didn't really want to get into this whole thing with false prophet, but this is kind of an extra bonus since we're on this. Since we're on this horse, let's just go ahead and ride it, okay? So he will take these two major religions, merge them together, and create a one world religion. Now look at this. So he's going to create this one world religion that will be completely influenced and controlled by Satan himself. I'm going to prove that to you right here. This false prophet will cause the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, which is the Antichrist, whose deadly wound was healed. Again, I really shouldn't even open this bag of worms because we got into this on our, go listen to our last podcast. The deadly wound that he is healed was one of his heads. John said there was seven heads. One of them was mortally wounded and it will rise again in the last days. This is not talking about the head on your shoulders. It's talking about the kingdom that the Antichrist once possessed in times past through the spirit of Antichrist who worked through leaders in times past. I talked about this on our last podcast. The spirit of Antichrist worked through Nebuchadnezzar. He worked through Pharaoh. He's worked through, in modern times, he worked through Hitler. He worked through Stalin. He worked through Mao. And again, this demonic spirit with Satan leading the charge will possess this false prophet and the Antichrist himself. And this kingdom that was mortally wounded, it was destroyed, it was wiped out, it will reemerge in the last days. And the Antichrist and the false prophet together will form this eighth and final empire, Bible prophecy. Again, go back and listen to Tuesday's podcast, please. You got to get into that. Verse 13, the false prophet will perform great signs so that he even causes fire to come down from heaven and the earth inside of men. He will bring great deception. Revelation 13, 14. He will be able to perform lying signs and wonders. Revelation chapter 13, 14. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He, not the Antichrist, but the false prophet will command the people of the earth to create an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword. Again, he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast so that it will speak and cause as many that would not to worship the image of the beast to be killed. Then Revelation 13, 16, very familiar passage, and 17, the false prophet will be directly instrumental in creating a system of buying, selling, and trading that will require all great, small, rich, free, poor, bond to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. I believe it's directly involved in the worship of the Antichrist. And again, this is why I brought up the false prophet to begin with, because watch this. The Antichrist will control the political scene, but the false prophet will be in control of the religious scene. And this is how these two were going to work together. They're going to converge in the last days. John saw it. Daniel did not see this. John did see it, Revelation 13. But let me get back to this. So, third temple, right? Brother Ricky, I thought you were talking about the third temple. I am. I went on an exit ramp and you thought I got lost, but I didn't. Now I'm getting back. I'm merging back into traffic. I'm getting back on the interstate. I'm getting back on the main highway, which is the third temple. Okay. Is it possible that the false prophet is going to come on the scene? And by the way, he comes on the scene in mid-trib. He comes on the scene once the temple is constructed in Israel. In Jerusalem, and the false prophet will work with the Antichrist. Could it be possible that when this temple is constructed, before, and I'm going to prove to you, before it even gets fully dedicated, It will be for the purpose of having these major religions come together in the name of peace and safety. Now, it's also interesting to note that the Temple Institute, which is directly involved in the blueprints and the future creation of this third temple, have already stated that it would only take approximately, now this is very intriguing to me, 3.5 years or 42 months to actually construct the temple. And it's not for the construction of it per se, but it is for the time that it needs for the prayer rituals, the new moon, the Sabbaths, the preparation of the red heifer, and all of that that needs to take place. When we show you the video in a minute, we're going to give you an update on that. Okay, so I've not forgot about the video. That's what I want to show you. Now I want to show you another major clue here that's very intriguing. Did you know that Zechariah, by revelation of the Lord, saw the future construction of this third temple? Look at this. Check this out. This is Zechariah chapter 4. Let me say it again. Zechariah chapter 4. I'm going to start at verse 1. Now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who is wakened out of his sleep. And he said unto me, what do you see? So I said, I am looking, and there's a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand are seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Now listen to this. Ready? Verse 3, two olive trees. Somebody say two olive trees are by it. One at the right of the bowl and the other is at the left. So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked to me, saying, what are these? What are these olive trees? One on the right, one on the left. Then the angel who talked with me, talking about Ezekiel, answered and said unto me, do you not know who these are? And Ezekiel says, no, my Lord. So the angel says, quote, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Come on, how many has heard this quoted? We've all heard this verse quoted many times. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, verse 9, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. He said, this temple, his hands shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord which scan to and fro over the whole earth. Now watch this. Then I answered and said to them, Ezekiel answers to the Lord, or to this angel, says, what are these two olive trees at the right of the lampstand and one on the left? Listen what the angel says, and I further answered and said to him, what are these olive branches that drip into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains? And then the angel answers again, do you not know what these are? It's like, come on, man, just tell him already, right? The anticipation. And I said, no, my Lord. Here it is. So the angel says, these are the two anointed ones who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth. Now stop. Can I prove to you that this temple which Zechariah saw in the future was not in his present day? Because in the present day in which Ezekiel saw this and was given this revelation of the Lord, it was under Babylonian captivity. So it could not have been Revelation 11 temple. But here's what's more intriguing. Not only did he see a future temple being constructed, but he saw these two olive branches. And I'm going to prove to you that they were the two witnesses that just so happened to emerge when this temple is being constructed in Revelation 11. All right, let's go there. Revelation 11, 1 through 2, we just talked about this. It talks about a third temple. It'll be measured. It'll be given over to the outer court, will be left to the Gentiles. They'll tread under its feet for 42 months or 3.5 years. Why? Because it will be given to the Antichrist. Okay. Then he says in verse 3, I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Look what verse 4 says, guys. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. In case you think that Brother Ricky was off, nope. John saw exactly what Ezekiel saw. And notice in Ezekiel chapter 4, Ezekiel described a temple and two witnesses. Revelation 11, there's a temple and there's two witnesses. Friends, listen to me. These two witnesses will be ministering during the first 42 months of the tribulation, but they will be slain and killed by the Antichrist in the middle, about the time that he sets up his headquarters right there in Jerusalem when the temple has been constructed. Listen, how can the Antichrist take his seat in a temple that is not constructed? But if the temple is already built, he will occupy this temple. Oh, and by the way, we're going to show you the video because we want to give you an update on this third temple. But by the way, when the Antichrist takes over this temple, he will then, with the help of the false prophet, they will set this image of the beast at the wing of the temple, and it will fulfill Daniel 9:27, Matthew 24, and what John saw in Revelation 13. Let's go back to Daniel 9:27. It says, Antichrist confirms a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week, or in the middle of 7 years, that's 3.5 years into it, he breaks the covenant with Israel. He reveals his true identity. He invades Jerusalem, sets up his headquarters. Look what he says here. Look what it says he does. He brings an end to sacrifice and offering. In other words, there has to be a temple there for them to be doing sacrifices and offerings, but the Antichrist puts an end to it. And on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes Jerusalem desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined and is poured out on the desolate. Look, let's go to Matthew 24, 15 and 16. This absolutely agrees with Matthew 24, where Jesus is giving you the signs of the coming of the Lord, what will be the end of the age. He says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, so he's reminding them of what Daniel spoke of, standing in the holy place. Guys, this will happen in the temple in Jerusalem. Whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Well, Brother Ricky, what is Jesus talking about? What is Daniel talking about? He's referring to the image of the beast that will be created by the people of the earth, controlled by the false prophet, that will be demanded that they worship this image. This image, whatever this image is, it will be placed in the wing of the temple of Jerusalem. And when the Jews see it, it will be an abomination unto them and they will flee. This is exactly what he's talking about.
Key element of biblical prophecy involving the return of Jesus Christ to the earth, building a third temple in Jerusalem. Now there's a movement in Israel to make it happen. And it was made possible when Israel captured the Temple Mount during the Six-Day War in 1967.
On June 7, 1967, Israeli Brigade Commander Mota Gor made an announcement the Jews had waited to hear for some 2,000 years.
Retaking this ground was important for a number of reasons. For one, it's where King Solomon built the first Jewish temple. After the Babylonians destroyed it, Zerubbabel laid the foundation stone for a second temple that was later expanded by King Herod. It fell at the hands of the Romans in 70 AD.
See, that's what we were talking about earlier. There, although there was a natural temple, it was constructed and then it was destroyed. There's coming a future temple. But that temple that Ezekiel saw that vision of could have not been the same temple that he describes, because the two olive branches, remember, which are the two witnesses, didn't exist at that time, or they weren't there at the temple. There was a temple in heaven. And by the way, I believe that the two witnesses, and this is my opinion, everybody's got one. Some say it's Moses and Elijah. I believe it's Elijah and Enoch, because the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. Elijah and Enoch never saw physical death. They're the only two individuals. Elijah was walking with God and was taken and was not. He never saw physical death. Elijah was taken in a chariot of fire. I believe these are the two olive branches. I believe these are the two witnesses that will come in the last days. And again, this could have not been Ezekiel 4. There, I believe it had a dual revelation. Yes, there was coming a temple involved with Zerubbabel, but there was coming another temple that would happen in the future that John saw, Revelation 11, where the two witnesses would emerge there in Jerusalem. All right, so let's watch the rest of this.
When Commander Gore declared that the Temple Mount was back in Jewish hands, it rekindled hope for a long-awaited third temple.
The Six-Day War was a miracle of biblical proportions and was a...
It was
a
prophetic.
Opening of a new era for Israel and for the whole world.
Rabbi Chaim Richman of the Temple Institute is dedicated to rebuilding the Jewish temple. He sees the time since the Six-Day War as a prophetic shift.
It's really hard, I think, not to see what's happened in the past 50 years as a tremendous jumpstart, a tremendous fast forward. It's more than prophetic. It's like a kiss from heaven, you know, it's like a divine kiss. It's an intimate brush with the reality of God's compassion and love, and he keeps his promises.
The Institute shares a key connection to the battle for Jerusalem. Its founder, Rabbi Yisrael Ariel, served with the 55th Paratrooper Brigade that captured the Temple Mount. After the victory, a Jordanian guide gave them a remarkable tour.
His job was to carry the company machine gun. There's a very beautiful photograph of that. He actually, the first night of the liberation of Jerusalem, he was given the task of guarding over the spot of the Dome of the Rock, which of course we believe is the Holy of Holies. The story, though, that he told us is that the soldiers were on the Temple Mount, and it was just like the first hour or so. And they were approached by a Jordanian fellow in Western dress who explained that he was the official tour guide for the Jordanian parliament, and he offered to take the soldiers and show them the sites on the Temple Mount. And he takes the soldiers, you know, the rabbi there, and he says, well, this is exactly where the sanctuary stood. This is where the altar stood. And then this is where the menorah stood. He tells them all these things about the history of the Holy Temple. Finally, the rabbi asked him, why are you telling us all this? And he said, well, we have a tradition from our fathers.
Listen what he's about to say here, guys.
They from their fathers that one day the Jews would wage a war and conquer this mountain and rebuild the Holy Temple. And I assume that you're starting tomorrow. And I want this to be my part in helping you.
What was their reaction to that story?
Well, gosh, I guess they were pretty surprised, but the bottom line is, in hindsight, it doesn't look like we were ready.
50 years later, that's changed, with the Temple Institute preparing blueprints.
The Temple Institute is preparing blueprints for a third temple. They have been. They've been doing this for years.
Gathering official temple elements, such as the priestly garments. Richman is also dispelling myths about the temple on today's digital loudspeaker, YouTube.
Let's start at the beginning. What was the Holy Temple really all about?
All of this means talk of rebuilding the temple is no longer considered a fringe idea.
Today, there is a lobby in the Knesset of how many members of Knesset that are constantly speaking about Jewish rights to pray on the Temple Mount. There are members of Knesset that actually talk about the rebuilding of the Holy Temple. Do you understand that 20 years ago, these people wouldn't have been given a moment on prime time television in Israel to say these things? They would have been laughed out.
Think about it, church. Man, I've got chills. This is so prophetic. There's the fullness of time has come for the building of this third temple, which is prophetic, which sets the entire stage for everything that is major Bible prophecy that's centered around.
So a few years ago, this was considered fringe.
Zealots, lunatics, peculiar. Today it's mainstream.
One of those members is Yehuda Glick.
10 years ago, there was not a single member of Knesset who ascended the Temple Mount. Today, we have 20 of the Knesset members who are interested in ascending Temple Mount, praying on the Temple Mount, and are part in the battle for the redemption of the Temple Mount and for bringing the Temple Mount back into the center of the next step in the redemption process.
Richmond sees the temple through the eyes of the prophet Isaiah, who wrote 3,000 years ago that God's house would be a house of prayer for all nations.
Stop. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Remember, oh, come on, some of y'all don't get ahead of me now. Remember, I told you that it is very possible that whoever this false prophet is that will arise, and if when he arises, he is going to pull, and I believe before he even comes on the scene, this is all going to be in the works, that they're going to want to build this place for a house of prayer for all nations. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean all nations of Israel? No, possibly. Or are we talking about merging Islam, Christianity, and Judaism together under the guise of peace and unity, and again, a one world religion? Because I want to remind you, the most Jews in Israel are not messianic, and they are anticipating the return of a Messiah. You've heard us talk about this, and there is coming a Messiah, but there's coming a false Messiah as well. There's coming a figure who will call himself the Messiah, and he will declare himself as God and sit in the temple and declare himself as God, but he won't be the real true Messiah, because the real Messiah comes out of heaven as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Jude says he comes, behold, with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment. So I just want you to keep that in mind. This is very intriguing.
It means basically that there's a God in the world and that the best is yet to come, and that we are so connected to him and to each other and to that purpose and to all humanity. And it's just a wonderful privilege to be here with you today, to be looking out over Jerusalem and to realize that we're living in probably the most important time in history. If you believe in God of Israel and you see his hand on his people and you understand the tremendous changes that have gone on over the years, you see that the one who brought us this far isn't finished and will keep his promises.
Now, this next and final video clip I want to show you is from a channel called Sling and Stone. This is a great channel, guys. I recommend you go and check out his stuff. He's a very young guy that does this. I actually reached out to him, and he responded to me. We had a little short discussion on YouTube. I told him that I loved his content, and he actually followed End Time Headlines. He said he has followed us for years. So I was very honored by that. And, I'm hoping that, you know, our ministry blesses him as well. But I love that he uses a lot of visuals and graphics, and what he does a really good job. And, I think he's a voice for the younger generation because of the technology that he uses to do this. I mean, I'd love to have somebody like this on our team to be able to put these videos together, because Lord knows that I just don't have the time to do that. And the know-how that a lot of these younger people do to put this stuff together. But I want to show you this video because he talked about this as well in one of his recent videos. I'll leave the whole video right here under the description, so you can go check out his channel, watch his video in its entirety. But I want to show you this video clip from his channel. Check this out.
The peace talks and agreements between Israel and Saudi Arabia confirms and lines up with what Israel has been saying recently, that they want to build a train from Israel to Saudi Arabia to bring pilgrims to the Third Temple. This article from August 2nd, 2023 talks about the high-speed rail to bring pilgrims from...
Now, we talked about this, by the way. I remember we did an update on this, so that's what he's talking about here. So all the plans, guys, are in place for this.
From Saudi Arabia to the Third Temple by 2040. We know, of course, if things lined up, they could speed up that construction process way faster. 2030 seems to be a date a lot of people are throwing around. We know there's Agenda 2030, and there's some talk of popular videos online, such as Messiah 2030. The red heifers that meet the qualifications to cleanse the Third Temple are less than a year away from being ready to be used in that Third Temple ceremony.
Listen, did you hear that? We've talked about that. That's Passover of 2024.
There's reports coming out recently that these red heifers could bring up to 1 million tourists to Israel. Biblical red heifer could bring 1 million visitors to Samaria. The discovery of an entirely red such heifer is a rarity. Jewish sources state that only 9 were slaughtered in the period from Moses to the destruction of the Second Temple by 70 CE. According to the 12th century sage Maimonides, the Messiah will offer the 10th red heifer. In keeping with biblical law, the heifer put on display in Shiloh is completely red and has never borne a yoke. Quote, "This is an exciting and exceptional event for the entire Jewish people. We are already in touch with researchers and promoters around the world. We're waiting to come here with large groups. We have returned to the site of the tabernacle in Shiloh and are bringing back the Jewish past for the future of our people." And when the Jewish people are looking for their Messiah again, they reject Jesus Christ, something that I will cover as well at the end of this video, an extremely important thing to be aware of. Now let's take a look at this clip and just show how absolutely dead set the Jewish people are on these red heifers and building the third temple.
The book of Numbers explains that ashes of the red heifer are used to purify priests for their service in the temple.
According to those working on the project, the ceremony of the red heifer needs to be performed on the Mount of Olives and in a place that would have looked directly into where the temple stood. The land I'm standing on, bought 12 years ago, fits both of those standards.
Rabbi Yitzhak Mamo heads Yuvnei Jerusalem, dedicated to the goal of rebuilding the third temple.
We can make here in this area the ceremony of the red heifer that actually will be the first step to the temple. So we have the priest, we have the red heifer, we have the land, and we have everything ready. We just need to wait another 1.5 years.
So again, guys, that time frame puts us to Passover, which, by the way, is when, come on, this actual ceremony would actually have to take place. So, guys, we are living in unprecedented times, prophetic times, the fullness of times. Jesus said, Luke 21:28, when you begin to see all these things come in the past, you better look up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Come on, if you don't get excited about this, friend, then you have lost your fire and lost your anointing. Come on, we need to give praise to the Lord and we need to get excited. But listen, we can shout and we can holler and we can clap and we can jump all we want and be excited about this, but we have to occupy till he comes. And what I mean by that is we need to go out and win as many people as we can to the Lord and witness to them. Come on, give them videos like this. Show them that prophecy is being fulfilled. Warn them and share these videos like this because time is surely running out. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, right there above my head. That's going to be our main website. If you've not downloaded our free app, I want to encourage you again to do that. It's available on Apple and Android devices. You have to hit yes to push notifications. This way you can be notified of every headline and every podcast when it's readily available. As always, guys, thank you so much for being a part of the broadcast. Again, don't forget to hit that like button, hit that share button, that bell button so that you can be notified of all these videos when they come out on these platforms. And as always, guys, if this ministry is a blessing to you, if you agree with our vision, our mission statement, and you're equipped, you're edified, you're informed, you're exhorted on a week-to-week basis, please pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app there at the bottom on the left of your screen. Go all the way down to the bottom of the app, hit the donate button, or if you go to the main website, just click on where it says support the ministry. It's going to take you to an electronic page where you can give electronically through different various means of ways of giving, or you can give by check or money order. And you can make that out to right there on the screen, End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's going to be Monroe, Georgia 30655. So, guys, we're going to sign off for tonight. Again, it is Thursday, September 28th. We'll be right back here tomorrow night on Friday, the 29th of September, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, same time, same place, same channel. And we're going to have another great podcast for you lined up. So, until then, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.